Good morning, everyone. It's 11 o'clock, so we'll get started. Thanks for everyone that has joined our chat with UCA team. I think that we can start off, I guess, with just updating everyone where we're at as far as our cutover process. If you guys have been following us on our website, you'll see that we've done pretty much the south end of the state. And we will be in Millard tomorrow, cut Millard tomorrow. And then we have four PSAPs next week we'll be cutting over. Overall, I would say that it's going pretty good. We have learned a thousand different things and continue to learn. It seems like every cutover, we have come to put together some basic configurations for the consoles for the PSAPs that we're applying throughout. We've gone back and retroactively applied those to the PSAPs that we'd previously cut over. So we feel like we're getting those consoles dialed in to a large degree. Doing follow-up checks with the PSAPs and trying to teach them how to manage the volume levels and things like that. So, I think overall, like I said, there's been a lot of issues, and we've been working through them one at a time. We've got a punch list of a lot of things that we're working on. Some things that are one-offs here and there. Don't have anything that I would say is like some big system surprise or software surprise that we have that we didn't know, or that there is some big red flag or anything like that, I wouldn't say. We have had a lot of, I think there's been a learning curve for sure for the end users too. I think it sounds different. We've had, initially, when an agency cuts, we'll get a lot of calls saying, hey, we don't have coverage here, or we don't have coverage here, or someone got bonked or couldn't get out and things like that. I think that there's some things that are unique to having a digital system that I'll have Mike V and Dan and Phil talk about when they address everyone. We've updated our schedule online as far as our programming schedule. There were some different addresses and some blanks. We've updated that. And so if you have not cut yet, go ahead and look at the schedule online and verify the programming locations and the dates. We haven't changed any dates since we published. I don't want to actually start that rumor or introduce anyone into that anything's changed because the dates have all stayed the same. I would say that the one thing that we're getting is, as I mentioned, is people will call and say, hey, I don't have coverage here. Why don't I have coverage? Or, someone tried to get out on their radio and they couldn't get out. So what we've asked is for you guys to send logs, and we'll put something out in a newsletter. But if you have questions about coverage or someone's radio didn't work the way you think it worked, it should work. The four things that we need on that are the location of where the person is that's trying to get out on their radio, the talk group that they're trying to use, the site that they're affiliated with, and their RSSI. Those four pieces of information, and I'll have Mike walk through or talk you through how you can get that information off of the RSSI and the site you're affiliated with off of your radios. But those are the four pieces of information, and then we can go back and track. And then if you could do date and time too, that would help us because we can go back and track push to talks and see who pushed. Sometimes what we found is people are saying, hey, we had a bunch of people go 1041, and three of them tried to go 1041 and couldn't get on the radio. When we went back and looked to see what time they did that at and the date, it was because their radio had not affiliated with the site yet. And so we can have Dan and Mike and Phil address that element too. So let's go to Phil and Dan first. I think they're in the same room. We'll go to Phil and Dan, then we'll go to Mike afterwards. And then I might have a couple more things and then we'll take questions. So, Dan and Phil, do you guys want to go?
Sure. I'll talk about the affiliation and kind of the timing that we were talking about. When you're going basically between talk groups, that's the upper knob right here on the radio. That tends to be pretty quick on the L3Harris, maybe takes a second or two, and you'll see that this light that is right on the top of the L3Harris radio, you'll see that flashing, communicating with the site as you switch channels, and that's the radio doing an affiliation with that site for that talk group. On a Motorola, it doesn't have an actual external LED. You'll see it on the actual indicator where the signal strength is, and you'll see that basically flash a couple of times, and that's it doing the same thing, transmitting. What we have noticed is on this new system that it is slower to go between zones. So the zone on this radio is either on the front panel, and you can change zones with buttons there, or you can change zones at the top with the ABCD lower ring switch right there. And what we've noticed is that the radio, because it has to actually load all the zones with a new traffic plan, basically, it takes time for the radio itself to load that and then do the affiliation to the channel that the upper knob is set to. So it's quite quick to go between channels on the upper knob, and a little bit slower to go on the lower ring. And until it's done that site affiliation, you won't be able to communicate with anyone. It will essentially bonk you. That's kind of like a chirp, basically. So that's what I'd say about that. Dan, is there anything you wanted to add?
Other than the chirp is very similar in tone to the push to talk permit tone or the channel grant. So you could think that you're getting a channel grant when you're actually not. So
to watch the screen.
Yeah, that's the only thing I have to add.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Bill, do you have anything else in general as far as cutover or anything system related? Do you have any other general information or anything you want to share?
Sure. So as Tina mentioned, we set a console-based configuration across the state, and that's what we had been going with. And we got to the first few PSAPs and found some settings that were different than not settings that were different, but we found different settings work better for the particular PSAPs. We knew that this would be the case, something that we'd planned for, but we are adjusting the base configuration as we go into new PSAPs based on what we've learned. So we'll be remoting into the consoles. If we haven't already been in your console, we'll be in it prior to cutover to make those changes because we think that they benefit all the PSAPs everywhere. So. We are allowing for individual changes, like if a particular PSAP wants a specific setting changed, we're happy to make that. There's no reason not to, so we're supporting that.
Yeah, the PSAPs after they've cut over, I've been calling and doing, a week later, doing a follow-up and just checking, but certainly we're hearing in the first day or two from the PSAPs, I would say, hey, this, we have this, the volume, I think it seems like since we've analyzed and redefined what that baseline on the volume is, that's been very, very helpful. We've had much fewer calls, if any, on that. And I think that's, again, just through trial and error. So those people who went first, we appreciate them. It's never fun to be first or second, and in this case, even third, probably. But I think that it's definitely, we've definitely taken the lessons learned and applied them, adjusted our checklist, created a pre-cutover checklist, and added some things to that. Like Phil said, we are now going in and pre-configuring some of those baselines into the consoles before we even get there, just saving ourselves that extra time during the cutover. So yeah, Bill? You got anything else? You good? That was it?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Dan, do you have anything else?
Probably, as I think about it, the only thing I would add is that as we're tying the old system to the new system, we're finding that the old system tended to be a lot more quiet than the new system. And so dispatch operators typically are running with their mic settings very, very hot, very, very sensitive. And it is we're getting a lot of complaints from users in the field that radio to radio, they sound really good, but the operators are just blowing them out of the water. And so what we've been trying to do with this baseline config is go in and set everything to about in the center so that it allows for some adjustability up and down for those operators. So just be as we go through and we cut over your area, just be mindful of that fact that that there is going to be a difference in the audio level between the old system and the new, especially where the operators have been using the old system and adjustments a certain way for the last 20 or so years. So that's all. I don't think I have anything else.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. I think probably if I'm being honest, I think the hardest part about this whole cut over and this whole new system has been the programming, because there are 3 trillion variables in it. The bajillion different code plugs and personalities and types of radios and who has what, who has been flash upgraded, who hasn't, who wants encryption. You know, the state is programming their own radios, so there's some differences there. So it's by far been the hardest element. And predicting, you know, if the county that we're in has assigned specific appointment times, even then it's very easy for us to get behind schedule if the migration rack doesn't start off. So right, the very first thing we do with when we start cutover is we go and we marry the legacy to the P25 system with through the migration rack, and then we test all of that to make sure that it's working and then try and convert someone over. But if that migration rack situation does not go well, like for instance in Washington County, it took us, we got behind right out of the chute 4 hours because we had migration rack issues. And I think we ran into some in Cedar also. And so it then puts everyone behind on programming right out of the chute. And it's very, 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 very hard, if at all possible, to catch up from that. And so I do know that that's been the pinch point it has for us. That has been for our agencies. There's been probably more frustration with that element of the cutover for sure than even in the PSAP part. The PSAP part compared to the programming part is easy peasy. And it's not, you know, and it's not. So we've hired additional, we've reallocated a lot of our radio personnel, excuse me, to the interop part of it and programming part of it. We've also hired programmers through L3H to come in and help us with programming. We will have as many as 13 people here as we get closer to the Wasatch Front. So we are definitely trying. We've had, you know, 2 to 3 teams in almost every county. And so 4 to 8 to 12 people, plus any locals that are helping and that can help. We always appreciate that too. Inevitably, we're having to write new codes because someone wants something different or whatever. We've had a lot of last minute changes to code plugs and to fleet maps. And, you know, initially our stance was we're not going to make any changes. We're just, it is what it is. You guys agreed to them. You gave us these code plugs, you know, a year and a half ago almost. And so it is what it is. But and we don't feel comfortable doing that. We know, first of all, we're trying to be good, you know, customer service oriented and get you guys what you want out of the chute, because we understand if we don't give you what you want, we're just going to be back reprogramming. And that's a huge pain and a huge time, you know, consuming for everyone, but especially for your customers, to bring every radio in, every apparatus, every person. So we've tried to be very accommodating and make those adjustments on the fly, and it takes time, and then that puts us behind and stuff. So could we do better? Could we hire a lot more people? Perhaps we could. And, you know, we'll be looking at that and see if we need to hire more. But some things we just will not be able to avoid unless we just say we're not making any adjustments. You have to, you know, like it or lump it. And that's really not, it's not my style nor our organization style to say that to our customers, because we serve you. So that's been challenging for sure. That's been a challenging element, but our programming guys have, you know, on the schedule, you know, typically it will say 8 to 5. I can tell you that I've talked to my guys, or I know that they have left at 9 and 10 at night. They're staying as long as they need to. And I know that the agencies get frustrated with that. I know that they get frustrated when we get behind. And again, I'm not saying that there aren't ways that we could do better, because we can always improve on everything, on the PSAP side of it, on the programming side of it. But, you know, it's not for lack of trying, and it's not for the fact that my guys that are out there doing this are not 100% in. So, but with that, Mike, I'll turn it to you. If you have any tips and tricks or anything that agencies could do that could be helpful to you guys, if they know they have fleet map changes way before we get out there, you know, day of programming, to send those to us, even though I'm not advocating for that. And I'm not saying, hey, everyone, you know, let's all change our fleet maps or our code plugs. But certainly if there's something critical, we want to be able to give you what you need, but we also, you know, within reason, and it's not your last time. I mean, we can reprogram any time after the first of the year, after the first quarter, maybe we need to have a break, but whatever you guys need, we're trying to help. But Mike, if you could do some things that would be helpful that you're seeing that maybe are causing some of the delays, and that, like, not, you know, radios that haven't ever been powered on, things like that.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate Tina's words on the efforts that, you know, all the team beyond programming is putting in, the support from both agencies and internally has been tremendous. And like Tina said, my guys are there to get the job done, and we'll work as late as we have to accomplish that. I think to add to what Tina said, some of the things that cause the delays is that when there are changes or additional radios, we know, again, it's been even since we did the soft cut 6 months, and a lot of your agencies have received, you know, new radios and have tried to put them in service or have been waiting to put them in service in a lot of cases. And so, again, like with the soft cut, that requires us to do some manipulation of the code plug to make it work with the flash codes for Motorola's, particularly. That work filters down to three of us to get that accomplished. And so when there's a lot of that or changes the code plug, there's really, you know, three of us out of the 8, 12, however many people are out there helping that can make those adjustments. And so having any changes that you foresee done before we get out there, you know, the week prior, at the very, very latest, the sooner the better. Obviously, our team will work on it. Garrett, who's my program manager, and Dave, who's my author, you know, they stay up past our programming times to get some of these changes made as well. So we're in it. We're working hard. We're working long hours, and anything that you guys can provide ahead of time will help us. We're also trying to get to some of those requests that have come in, you know, for the old system, because we know that that's being managed, as many of you have not cut over. So we're doing our work to try and do that as best as we can, but we are, you know, we're in at 12, 13, 14, sometimes 16 hours for the day. And so if we're not answering emails or stuff, that's part of the reason why. I think any help that you can provide in at the locations, as far as managing, you know, staff or radios that are coming through. We've seen some agencies that have had individuals there that have you know, been marking off the radios and making sure that people are there, or trying to get them there sooner if we have a lull. If you have that capability and ability, that's something that helps us a lot, just to keep the flow going and try and get some of the radios done faster. I think that also, as Tina's mentioned, one of the things that slows us down is that first start time. So, you know, starting off slow, if you're scheduling people in, getting them there, you know, a little bit slower at the morning, and then maybe going a little bit later is a better, or even starting a little bit later and going later is another good option that we have with this change that, you know, we've learned as we've done the process. So I think that's part of the things that they are. We, like I said, we'll work as long as we have to get the job done. That's our goal. I think everyone that's out there programming and everyone that's out there working in the PSAPs are, you know, fully invested. So I appreciate every agency that we've cut over with so far. They have all provided somebody to help us in one way or another, to organize, to be there to program, whatever. So thank you to all you that have done that. We'll keep pushing through and keep getting this done. I think overall it's been a success. There's a lot of things that we'll have to probably adjust or make flies, or people that we've missed that we'll go back and try and take care of. We're trying to do that as we go through the process too. As people reach out to us and say, hey, we got missed, or, you know, we didn't know about it, or we just couldn't get there. My team's trying our best to try and get back to those people. We'll send them as soon as we can to get that done. So we'll keep going on that. As far as the radios are concerned, you know, there's a lot of radios out there that I know are caches and other things like that. If we can avoid bringing those in at any cost, that would be awesome. We know that you have to do your job, so we will program whatever is brought into us. But if you have radios that you're like, hey, we need these on the system, but we can hold off, we would love to come back and program them at a later date if you can hold those off. On the radios themselves, talking back at the Tina's original request, every radio is programmed pretty much the same with the same setups, unless the agency requests it different, which some have. So on your side buttons of your radios, there'll be some buttons on the side. The middle button is usually the one that predicts the RSSI. And the bottom button usually is the one that predicts the, or says what the ID of the radio is. In some radios, for instance, with the Harris radios, it'll actually show the ID of the ID and the name of the site plus the RSSI. In Motorola's and Kenwood's, a lot of times it'll just show an ID number and an RSSI. Both of those are helpful to us, and that's how we'll look at the sites and be able to determine where the issues are on that. We know that a lot of agencies have programmed, and they also change their options in that. We do our best to try and keep those as close as we can, but sometimes those get changed. So just bring it to our attention, and we'll do our best to make sure that each of those radios that have been programmed, you know, keep as best they can their menus. But with as many radios as we're programming, there are some that get changed. So this is a full change. That's some of the questions we get. This is a full change in the new system. As most of you know, there's only a few agencies that are staying with a dynamic group, or with a hybrid group. And that's some of our state agencies that have to travel the state every day. They've kept some hybrids in there, so with some readjustments. So one of the questions is this, you know, how's this different? Well, it's a new system, new channel. So we encourage you guys that know what the channels and talk groups are to get those out to your people so they understand where they need to be as they go through the process. Just kind of our process to reassure you is that we have found some errors in the way the system works on this and where the way the radios are programmed that we fixed. So some TDMA and other things. So we worked through that, and I think that we're in a better place because of that. I think we've solved a lot of those issues in the programming side of things. So if we have an issue of radio that doesn't work, we know where to look if there's an issue, but we are programming every radio. We are keying it up for transmit and receive. So that takes a few extra seconds, minutes in some cases if we have to fix something, but we are assuring that every radio that leaves our area now is keying up on the system. We don't want an officer or a firefighter or even a public works person to go out and need help and their radio doesn't work. So be assured that we're working our best to make sure every radio is working on the system before you ever leave our locations. I did a lot of rambling, but thank you guys. I think that's all, unless you have any questions.
That was good comments, Mike. I appreciate it. I think, you know, for those of you that are on that have a cut, starting at 9 or 10 on the first day of cutover for the programming side is probably the smarter way to go, just to avoid getting backed up right out of the chute. We have gone through the migration rack. When I say we've learned lessons, you know, we've got lessons learned on the PSAP side. We've got major lessons that we've just learned, I would say, even as recent as yesterday and the day before, as far as the migration rack goes. We think we've got that streamlined a little bit. We've recognized what some of our issues were, if you will, with the migration rack, and pairing the identifying the legacy talk groups to what the new P25 talk groups will be and things like that. So Phil and Dan have been working on that since 7 o'clock this morning, going through and calling a bunch of the PSAPs, if not all of the PSAPs that have yet cut over, just to validate the talk groups that have been identified on the legacy side of what talk groups they want to marry and what talk groups they want to marry them to on the primary side, or excuse me, on the P25 side. So there's some more lessons learned. But I would say still that, because one thing that we do before we even start a single radio cutover is, as soon as we get that married up, we do emergency button testing on the code plugs to make sure that the emergency buttons have been programmed correctly on the code plugs. And so that also takes some time. So we're trying to validate, certainly for field unit safety. So for those who have not cut, I would recommend just not scheduling anyone until 9 or 10 the first day. The second day, I think it's different because, you know, everything's, we've got the migration rack running, we've got a lot of the wiggles worked out and stuff, but don't, I would not recommend having, you know, 500 people show up at 8 a.m. And if you don't have set times, even if you have set times, you know, there's, like we've already explained, there's things that can get us off schedule really fast. Again, we will be looking at our processes to see, you know, can we have someone assigned to kind of be the coordinator of chaos and say, hey, okay, you're next in line, you're next, and kind of coordinate some of that and verbalize some of that with our customers that are there for programming. I think, yeah, we can do that and have someone kind of help herd the snakes, if you will. I think that, like Mike said, if you have cash radios that can hold off, we will not charge you to come out and do those after the fact. I know, you know, some people want every radio done because you think this is the only time we're going to get free programming from UCA, and that's just not going to be the case. I think, like Mike said, there's going to be things that we're going to have to come back out and change, things that were done that you don't like, talk groups that the PSAPs thought they would use or didn't use or whatever. You know, we know that we're going to be reprogramming for a while. So please don't let the fear of, well, we'll charge you if we come out and do your cash radios later. We'd rather do them later if you can live without them. But if you can't, then bring them. So definitely a lot of lessons learned in every aspect of this cutover, for sure. You know, we've got like 6 weeks left. Obviously, we've got the week of Thanksgiving that we're not doing anything. Really, when I say not doing anything, no cutovers. We'll be doing punchless items, I can assure you. We've got a punchless system. What I would say too is, if you have issues, to streamline those, and so that we can make sure that they're not getting dumped into someone's inbox that is out on the road, because most of our people have been out on the road for significant hours. Even in the PSAPs, you know, it's going, you know, we're not stopping at 5, been on site for, you know, late in the night, and So just go to our website, and in the top, you'll see contact us. There's a drop down. You can do a request non-emergency support. If it is, hey, these radios haven't worked, or we don't have coverage here, like, again, no, giving the items or the issues or the elements that I said before, the RSSI, the date, the time, the type of radio, the location, those elements, the talk group and the site that you're affiliated with, if you'll email us those, we can put those on our punch list. We'll get to them. It'll just streamline it for us rather than sifting through emails. And then we're just taking those and adding those over to the punch list anyway. Certainly if it's an emergency, call our 801-840-4216 number. That's on our website. Just go to uca911.org. It's right up on the top right in the red button on the top right. So you'll find that. But please don't suffer through or wait. If it's an emergency, call us. We have, we've got Kirsten on all day during the day, and our guys, our techs, our on-call guys are on at night, and we'll take those calls. So please don't hesitate to reach out. But to streamline it, to go through either our website or our main number would be exceptionally helpful for us, so we can prioritize the requests. Okay, we've talked a lot, so I'd love to hear from everyone else. I see Paul Wolden from Beaver said that he seconds what Mike said about having a low at the beginning of your programming events. That's lessons learned. Paul just barely cut Tuesday. So please go ahead with any questions or comments or concerns. We'll address those as we get them. Go ahead, Mr. Moffitt.
Hey, this is James with Gold Cross. We are programming with Robert Bruff on Monday for Uinta County. And we recognize that Uinta County has a pop-up ER from the Uinta Basin over in Roosevelt, and they are currently using that channel in their ER. So the one that's from Roosevelt currently doesn't have a radio. We're just wondering, is there going to be a channel that's set aside for both hospitals rather than just the one, or do we program it for both? And maybe that's a question I can take with Mike offline.
Okay, you can answer.
Yeah, I think that there was only one out there right now, so I think that's something we got to look at. I would program it right now as both, and then we can come back and change that later.
Okay. Thank you very much, and good work on all your late nights. Thanks for all your help.
Thank you.
Thanks, James. Daniel Butcher asked where on the website to go find the locations for agency cutover. If you go to our website, click on P25, and then in the right, you'll see P25 division. There's a gray box at the very bottom. P25 final cutover schedule is second to last, and then P25 programming location schedule. And then you asked, how do you add a location to cutover? Just email Mike V and Garrett, and they can add a site for you. Provided that we have on the schedule, it will show on the programming location schedule, it will show how many teams we'll have there. So work with Mike V is the short answer on that, Daniel. Are there any other questions or comments? Paul Pitts. Keep fighting the good fight. You guys are rocking it. Brody Young. Hi, Tina. Will you please post the info you need for coverage? Yes. I'll post it in the comments section. Is that what you mean, Brody? Okay. Are there any other questions or comments? Please, we're open to anything. I think I might put his number in there.
Hey, Tina, this is Bryce. Can you hear me?
Yes, Bryce, go ahead.
I've got a question for Mike, Michael. Our agencies have been through that programming course and that, and they've been asking us if you guys need any help from them. Is that something that they might be able to do for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I've talked to a couple already and followed up with a couple that sent me emails this week. Today we had a great punch list day, so it's... We've been trying to catch up, but so I followed up with a few of them. But yeah, if they're interested in assisting and programming in the county or even adjacent counties. We'll take the help. We'll put people to work. There's lots of tasks, you know, that can be done. Programming that we can provide with them, provide them the information or the programming that they need, the programs that they need to do that. But I think that, you know, having a lot of people programming is a great thing. Just that some, when there is issues, those filter down to the three people, like I said. But having people there is, it helps us tons. I mean, in a lot of different ways. So if they're, somebody's willing and wants to come help us, provide their time, then yeah, just have them reach out to me on my cell. And that's probably the easiest way to get a hold of me right now, because we are traveling and on the road. If I don't answer, they can text me, and that's sometimes easier also to answer them. But provide them, yeah, we'll take help where we can get it.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks, you guys.
Hey, yeah, Bryce, can you potentially give me a call after this meeting?
Yep.
Thanks.
I will. Thank
you. Yep. I just sort migration issues with you. We need to sort out migration rack issues. Mike, is there something that those who want to help need to, if they reach out to you prior, it would be better so they can download what they need and things like that, right? Yeah. So when he's saying there's three people who can do it, if there's changes to the code plug, there's only three people that can author those, and they take a minute to do. I mean, sometimes, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, they can take an hour plus, and then all that, you can see why, you know, that will all of a sudden, you know, just essentially cause a massive traffic jam. So
yeah, if it's just a different flash code, then that's pretty quick. With the three of us doing it, you know, we've gotten that down to a science now where it's, you know, within a couple minutes. But if somebody comes in, an agency comes in and has like a lot of changes or requests like that, I mean, rewriting the code plug could take, yeah, an hour, 2 hours or more. But if, as far as those that reach out to program, if they provide me with an email, then we can get them access to our SharePoint drive, which is where we're managing all the radios that we're programming, as well as the ability to program with the software and that. So,
okay, thanks, Mike. What other questions do you have? And it's okay to voice complaints and concerns and frustrations on this call too. I mean, we want to hear it all. We don't expect this just to be, you know, all positivity. We're not sitting here saying everything went great and perfect, because it's been a lot for a lot of people, and we recognize that. And it's been far from perfect, but it's happening. So go ahead, James, or whoever is
Mike. Thank you, Mike. So just so I can understand on the programming, we have everything that we need, but the keys, are you allowing us to program with the keys, or do I still need to have Robert Bruff do that?
So those that come out and program with us, then we provide them with the keys while they're there. We have extra dongles. If you're in an area and you have additional programmers, they can come see us and we can provide that. We just need to get them back at the end of the day, because we need to track all those dongles and make sure that we first have enough for the next area, but also that we know where they're at. So if you have extra programmers and they need access to that, please, yeah, reach out to me and we can try and make that happen.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Any comments or frustrations? Go ahead, Paul Pitts.
Just a quick question. So with the late start time, let's say we start at 10 a.m. We start migrating the consoles about 8 a.m. Is that when that about starts? So
yeah.
And then we'll start programming at 10. Just trying to figure out people to place different places. So once those consoles stood up, is it pretty much they're up and running and now we can start programming? So like in my case, I can go from the dispatch center up to the shops to start handling that side, or does someone usually need to stay there pretty much all day at the console side? I guess the short of it, how long are you staying in the PSAPs for the consoles?
I mean, we're trying to wrap it up in one day, so we stay as late as it needs to happen. If it's going really well, but we just have more consoles to get through, then we'd probably knock off and at, you know, normal business hours, 5 to 6 p.m., something like that. If we think that, you know, we can get through all the consoles or something like that and be fully converted by 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. or 10, then we're staying. You know, a couple PSAPs, I've stayed till 10:30 at night getting them done.
Okay. Yeah, it just depends on the size of the PSAP. So for yours, Paul, I mean, again, for the PSAPs, it depends. If you've got if the PSAP director has their consoles configured, has their layout done, and you know, they're installed, like there's been different scenarios in a lot of different places. But, you know, one of the biggest issues we'll run into is if the consoles are not configured and they don't have them the way they want to have them and we have to build them, then, you know, that's going to take time. But for sure, starting at your programming around 10 the first day, 9 or 10, you know, it puts you in a better position. Again, it doesn't guarantee we won't get backed up. If people show up and have different needs or want to make changes, I would say in almost every location, and Mike can correct me if I'm wrong, we've had people want to change their code plugs at the last minute. You know, one agency or another is changing a code plug in every, you know, and every cut. And that's a lot. It jacks everyone else up, if you will. So anyway.
Yeah, I'll jump in and say what Tina means by building the consoles is like having them actually up and running with a mouse, a keyboard, and in the you know, if there's any sort of like reconfiguration that was needed, you know, we've tried to do as much of that as we can with L3Harris when we were there. But if there was like a specific thing, I want to say with Layton, there were jacks that weren't originally mounted, and I don't know if that's been done since, but things like that. That's what slows us down in PSAPs.
Okay.
Yeah.
To answer Daniel's chat message in the chat, there's variables because of the backup that can get done. I mean, to program a radio, we've asked, you know, 10 minutes to program it. But as far as scheduling, depending on the agency that you're in and how they've scheduled it, and then these other variables, it could be, you know, an hour, depending on when they get there and when they get out of there. So we try and get them through there quickly once we start going. And as long as there's not a change or an issue, then, you know, it can be pretty quick. But when there are backups, it could be longer. So, I mean, at a minimum, I would say that you should plan for them to be out of service for, you know, 45 minutes to an hour. And then we'll do our best to try and keep you up to date if there's backups and that, or have people there keep you up to date.
Yeah. And okay. So Brian Lowe has a question. After everything is done, how often would a console need to be rebooted? Does L3H have a recommendation? And we did have a best practices on that, did we not, Phil? We were talking about that.
Yeah. So they, they're going to recommend like a monthly schedule to do updates in general. And at that time, we'll reboot them at the same time, but we'll have to do it in phases and call the PSAP and talk through, you know, which ones to reboot and which ones to update and all that.
Yeah, we'll put that together, Brian, for sure. Get something coordinated with the PSAPs, talk to them and figure out a good process to deal with that for sure. I think that
Garden in Salt Lake.
Chief Phillips, go ahead.
Hey, Tina. So I think you talked with Chief Adams this morning.
I did. Right. I have had, yep. And I got an email from him also with the information I needed. So I'm working on that.
And I think you've addressed quite a few of those things already in this meeting. So are you going to send out a sheet on how to track those radio transmissions and how to figure out what areas they're getting lost in?
Yeah, we can definitely push a newsletter out to say, hey, you know, if you're having this issue, you know, and also some for the new radio users, for the new L3H radios, especially, I mean, obviously the system itself is new. So there's some learning curves for that. But the other element is these L3H radios, they work different, just like, you know, just like going from a, you guys will laugh, but like, you know, like a shotgun to a revolver is different. I mean, a gun is not a gun, right? And so, I mean, like not knowing how the radio works, like Dan was saying, getting a bonk, is that because it's a ready bonk or it's, you know, your unaffiliated bonk. So you've got to look at the front of your screen too on your radio at times. So there's some tips and tricks that I think that we definitely need to be pushing out that we've learned from some of the frustration and the complaints we've heard have definitely been, you know, users getting used to their radios, quite frankly. And not all of them. I'm not saying that we haven't had issues that we've had to resolve and things like that, but there's certainly been an element of that for sure.
Hey, Tina.
This
is Chief Matthew. Just as a suggestion, because I was on the discussion with the state chiefs this morning with Mike, and as a suggestion, I wonder if I saw the newsletter on the battery issue with the Harris radio. I don't know that every single user is going to read that. I just wonder if it would be helpful to have a special session on a chat similar to this, just with users, on focusing on user equipment, you know, the people being on a new system, analog to digital, obviously that transition, plus nuances you've learned, just what Phil explained, show and demonstration with a Harris radio and some of the nuances you've learned, just for user equipment. So maybe users like law enforcement, fire, public works could all tune in, hopefully, on an invite and say, we're just going to go over user related issues, because obviously there's a great concentration of PSAPs, radio programmers on this, not many end users, I don't think. And I've had a couple chiefs reach out to me today and say, hey, can you send me the link to that meeting? I'd like to get on and have some questions. And now it's in front of them and they need to address this issue. It's coming down the pike. And I think now they're paying more attention. So I don't know if that'd be helpful or not.
No, I think it's a good idea. I think I was thinking that when Phil was, you know, and Mike were showing their radios and holding them up and that, and I thought, you know, we probably should throw some videos out there or some live meetings for sure. You know, I can look at our schedule and see when we have a punch list day coming up. I agree that it will be good, and we can definitely get some more information out and do some more trainings. We did our L3H radio training. We hosted that. I know we can see if we have that video too. We can push out through or push a link out through our email list, our email list serve too. So yes, we're willing to do whatever we need to do to try and help everyone understand what they have in their hand, what radio, how it works, you know, how the new system works. And it definitely sounds different. And it takes, you know, about 2 weeks for everyone to hear it and learn get their new ear, if you will. So it is change. Everyone's cheese is moving, and it's been a lot for some, for sure. What else?
So Tina, I just wanted to finish up too. So in Iron County, we had two sites, and most of our complaints came out of the other site that was run by law enforcement. On our side, on the fire one, it went super smooth. It seemed to flow really good. Was there more vehicles and equipment at the second site than at the fire station site?
Yeah.
Is that what happened there? Because ours seemed to run just super smooth, and we had, you know, fire chief show up and bring 15 radios. We got them programmed, and it was really easy.
Yeah, and so I know that Jimmers, who was helping manage that down there, had put it out to everyone, including the state and agencies on that. And some of the state agencies had not signed up for slots, but Ben showed up. So we had like a large group of them that showed up during times that other people were supposed to be programmed. And then there was a large number of XTS, XTL radios there, and they seem to take a little longer and they're a little rougher. So that, and then just they got started slow because of a couple of those issues and the PSAP side of it. So I think they got backed up, and then once we relieved them from, you know, when we finished up with your site, Chief, we mass attacked down there, and we were able to catch a lot of it up, but our guys still ended up spending, they were down there till 10 o'clock the second night. So.
Yeah. And then as far as the dispatch side, we had some issues with tones and stuff. And I know Dan was in there and we worked those out. So, and there was just some timing things and how they came out, but they all got fixed that day. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, it's, I mean, especially with the VHF move over, you know, that's one of the things we do first. We get one of the consoles online and then we start testing it. We've asked the PSAPs, test the VHF resources on the legacy site. Blake is sending out an email and a spreadsheet to all of the PSAPs about a week or two before their cutover. And we're asking them, will you please test your VHF resources? Verify that they work. Not only are they hearing tones and voice, but that it's you know, you can understand the voice and that you can, there's two-way transmission. And also, are they high, medium, or low? So we can get a baseline for where it's at, because if it's crap today on the legacy, it's not going to be any better. And so we've spun our wheels on a couple of resources where we've gone back and we've taken it off the P25 and taken it back to legacy and tested it and realized, oh, well, it doesn't work on legacy. No wonder we can't get it to work on P25. That was one of the lessons we've learned. And we go through that. And so we've also, you know, we've got a lot of volunteer fire departments and a lot of people out in areas where their pagers, you know, we need them in the areas where their pager works. So we've also asked the PSAP to identify people, along with a phone number for each of those areas that are going to be in the area the day of cutover. So for the PSAP, it's that first day for sure, that we can sit and test that so we can validate that it's working right. And so that is probably, and Phil, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, that I would say that is by far the hardest part of cutting over a PSAP are those VHF resources.
Yeah, definitely. And it's all analog and it's all threshold based and it's all volume level based. And so, you know, we've basically adjusted it to where it looks like the old system from a signal perspective, but the human error, you know, hears it differently too. And so it's as well, the pagers have to trigger off of it. So we spend time raising those and lowering them. And every time we make a change to the setting, we have to go back and retest all of the different tones once again, so to ensure that we didn't break something that was already working. So it is rigorous and difficult to get it correct, but we're definitely committed and we've been, I think, largely successful. And it's due to a lot of tweaking and having those people ready in the field to test those pagers.
Yeah. Another thing we're seeing too is when, and believe me, this is one thing we're super happy about, when we get there, PSAPs are saying, you know what, I don't need that resource anymore. We're not going to use this one, Rocky. And we cheer for that, because that's good news, because it's less resources we have to work through. There's a lot of fine tuning at every single PSAP. It doesn't matter. I mean, no matter what, we're going to go to Lacana's, and then, you know, it's going to be different from Elisa's. And I mean, it's just every one of them are going to be different. And we've seen that every time. So, but thanks. Chief Phillips, I appreciate the comments. You guys just are fresh out of your cutover. So things are still, people are still tentative and getting used to everything. And it's we kind of see that, where we kind of see like this huge influx of calls and questions and emails. And then, you know, we kind of work through some of that and get things fine tuned, and then they die off. So, you know, I see Aldridge on here. They're old school professionals now. They've been on the system for almost a month now. So I'm sure Aldridge could share all of his lessons learned too. So. Are there any other questions or concerns or comments or anything else? Well, I appreciate everyone taking the time to call in. We obviously set these up because we want to make ourselves available to you guys, our customers. We care about, you know, what your concerns are, and it helps us know, you know, what you guys are thinking, what you're frustrated with, or what your questions are and things like that if you haven't reached out to us. And then I think it's also helpful for other customers to hear what other people have gone through or lessons learned and things like that, or asking questions that maybe they hadn't thought of. And so I appreciate, you know, you guys being willing to jump on and have the conversations with us for sure. So we'll try and get something set up for some tips and tricks, videos or chats, Teams calls. And other than that, we'll just keep plugging through. Looking forward to December 13th for sure. With that, we'll close it out unless anyone has anything. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, very everybody. Much for everybody.